Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to With the First Pick, the CBS Sports NFL Draft Podcast here on CBS Sports Network. I'm Ryan Wilson. That's our general manager, Rick Spielman, who has 30 years of NFL experience, including more than a decade as the Vikings GM. And looky here, Emory Hunt, that's the czar of the playbook. And today, boys, it's another mock draft, but this time, it's not what we think will necessarily happen on draft night, which gets underway in exactly 30 hours from now somehow, but what we would do if we were making the picks. So, Rick, he'll make the first pick, then me, then Emory, and we'll rotate through. And don't worry, boys, there will be trades as well. But before we get into it, we start every show with a peek of the old With the First Pick countdown board. But, Rick, I'm on the road. You're on the road. I didn't bring it with me, but we're upgrading. Can you tell me how many days until the 2024 NFL Draft? Look at that, baby.
Yeah, Emory, all the guests, this is my only role in the show, and then I'd be quiet for the next hour, is that there is actually one day left until the 2024 NFL Draft.
It's a good job right there by you, Rick.
Yeah, thank you. Done. I've been practicing that all morning.
Flawless, as usual. We'll see if you keep true to your word and not say another word for the rest of the show. I don't think that's going to be possible because we're going to go through these picks here. And look, here's the deal. We'll do the first five picks in this first block here, and I'm just going to let you announce the pick and give me one sentence. We'll circle through the top five or six, and then we'll have a discussion before we take a break here. All right, so Rick, you're on the clock at number one. You're the Bears. What are you doing?
Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. My one-word answer is no-brainer.
That's two words, but okay, close enough. All right, let's see how the education system treated you, Emory, if you know the difference between one and two. The Commanders are on the clock. What are you doing? Oh, that's me. I can't
read either. But your education is messed up.
I'm so dizzy with excitement that I couldn't read the card right, but I wrote his name down right. Jaden Daniels, come on down to Washington. You're our next QB of the future. Now things get interesting. We'll get into details in a second, but there's a trade up. The Vikings move up to three, and Emory, I'll let you discuss who it is, and we'll circle back.
Vikings select Drake May to help them out at the quarterback position. A lot of weapons around him to help him out day one.
All right, number four. Rick, the Cardinals are back up. Are they doing anything? Staying put, moving around? What are they doing?
No, they're trying to move out of this as much as they can, accumulate more draft picks, but they can't. If you watched last year, I'm sorry, am I over my one-word thing? Yes. You know, Monty moved back and then moved back up, so I imagine he'll try to do the same thing. But to me, they're going to get stuck here, and they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., receiver, Ohio State.
All right, next up is the Chargers, another team that may want to move down. But I'm getting a little saucy here. I'm getting Justin Herbert some help, even though Mr. Harbaugh might want to run the ball. I'm taking Malik Nabers, wide receiver at LSU. And finally, before we circle back and have a talk here, Emory, New York Giants at number six. What do you want?
Weird spot for the Giants at pick number six. I'm not going to reach for a quarterback, so I'll get a talented playmaker on the perimeter at Rome Odunze out of Washington.
All right, let's circle back and go. Let's start with pick number two because Caleb Williams feels like a layup at this point. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Emory, I'll start with you, and Rick, you can follow up with some thoughts. Emory, how do you feel about the fit in Washington? Is that the pick you would have made if Caleb's off the board? What are you thinking about Jaden Daniels here?
Definitely would have made that pick because, again, he makes it an 11-on-11 game. You look at the division they're in, you got to compete with Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts, and now you put yourself in a position to where, hey, things can happen to where we can get ourselves into the postseason because we have one of those guys at quarterback. So this is a pick I would have made. I love how he's as elusive as Lamar Jackson with the football in his hand. And there's a lot of talent on this at the skill positions for Washington. So this could be a team that could find themselves going from worst to maybe third in the division and getting to the postseason with that seventh seed.
Well, that's a progress, one step. I thought maybe worse the first, but you're not going to go that
far. What are you going that far?
I'm not being sarcastic. I was just trying to make a point. So I would say this. I said that Cliff Kingsbury has worked with quarterbacks like this. He knows how to utilize both what they can do throwing the ball, but also what they can do with their legs. So I think this is going to be the best fit for the offensive staff that's in place up in Washington. They'll know how to use him. He does have some weapons around him. They're still going to have to run the ball effectively. And from what I understand, with the four quarterbacks there and going to Topgolf, that he actually was the best golfer of the bunch.
Wow.
That All right, set, you're talking about the Topgolf.
That was a decision maker. Yep, that was the decision maker.
Okay, that's interesting. We'll assume you're kidding, but maybe not.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not allowed to be sarcastic this
I appreciate podcast. I appreciate the new age Rick after he almost beat up the barista this morning. That's a conversation for another podcast, though. Rick, let me ask you this, though. So you talk about the Topgolf thing. Drake May was there. He said he had fun as well, which is what you would expect any of the quarterbacks to say. But at three, the Vikings move up from 11 and somehow convince the Patriots to go off a three. I've heard that the Patriots like Drake May, and that's no grand surprise there necessarily. But if you were Elliott Wolf, the GM of the Patriots, like what are you asking for in addition to all the first-round picks? Are you asking for a Christian Darrisaw, for example? Does that fill a need? How far down that road can you convince the Vikings because they're going to be desperate for a quarterback?
Yeah, well, it's how desperate they are. And you may ask for a Darrisaw. I don't think they would trade Justin Jefferson. But if it just comes down to picks, you're going to have to overpay because they know they're coming up for a quarterback, and you may be giving up your quarterback that could be a franchise type quarterback. So expect the 2-1s, expect maybe a 1 or a 2 in the 2025 draft, and then have New England move back to number 11 and let's see what quarterback falls there.
Yeah. What do you think, Emery, about the whole process here, the Patriots coming off this pick, because you're not huge on Drake May. Is he your QB3?
He's not my QB3, which is why I would have made this trade, because I know desperately the Vikings want to come up and perhaps get me. So I'm going to make the trade, accumulate talent to stockpile the roster with talent so that way we can essentially, quote unquote, quarterback proof our roster. So I love the value for the picks that Rick talked about. And I would have made this move if I'm New England, because I have my eyes set on someone that I can get that I feel like can help us right away with even more talent around him.
Yeah, and that's the math you have to figure out with New England, whether you want to stockpile bodies around a quarterback yet to be determined, or do you want to roll with a rookie quarterback and see what happens? I would cautionary tell you with Mac Jones. Rick, I want to talk to you. We had three wide receivers go back-to-back-to-back, 4, 5, and 6, but I want to talk about the Chargers pick in particular. Greg Roman's a new OC. We know that Jim Harbaugh's a new head coach, and running's going to be critically important to what they do, but you do have Justin Herbert. Grade my pick of Malik Nabers at 5, because I would imagine Emery's probably higher on it than you are.
The player A, the team fit C. So,
okay, that's all right.
I'm going to say that they may be leaning towards offensive line here, because with Greg Roman coming in, Jim Harbaugh, look what they did at Michigan. I understand they got Justin Herbert, but they weren't the most efficient throwers. You know, with even J.J. McCarthy, whether you like him or not, they relied on running the ball, and they relied on controlling the clock. They relied on playing very good defense. So, to me, if they can't move out, I wouldn't be surprised if they went O-line here before receiver.
Yeah, I was thinking sort of the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Penei Sewell conversation from a few years ago. It worked out, obviously, in Cincinnati, but you could also argue that Penei would have helped that offensive line and Joe Burrow in particular. Hey, Emery, if these three wide receivers, they go off the board, 4, 5, 6. Which one do you think has the chance for the most success early, given these landing spots that we have them going to?
I would probably say Marvin Harrison Jr., even though I'm higher on Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. has the better offense. I feel like we know Harbaugh is going to try to run an efficient offense, going to take the ball a little bit out of Justin Herbert's hands. They're going to run the ball, play efficient, great situational football. So the numbers won't be as spectacular. But when you look at what Arizona now has, a healthy Kyler Murray, healthier Kyler Murray, you already have Michael Wilson on the opposite side. Now you bring in the Marvin Harrison Jr. I feel like that's a situation where he could really hit the ground running, both figuratively and literally, in that passing offense.
All right, six picks off the board, three quarterbacks, three wide receivers, no offensive tackles, no J.J. McCarthy, no Michael Penix Jr. yet. Going to take a quick break when we come back. Let's see where these guys go off the board right after this.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailor Brands.
Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. Another mock draft show, six picks in the books. Had a fun little trade there at number three for a quarterback. Things are about to get crazy, Rick, so hold on to your hats. We'll go through picks 7 through 14 real quick here. One-sentence responses, and we'll circle back and have a conversation here. At 7, Mr. Spielman, the Titans are on the clock. What are you doing?
Yeah, we're not getting crazy here, I can tell you that. The Tennessee Titans are going to take left tackle from Notre Dame. Joe Alt, to me, is the most complete left tackle in this draft.
Yeah, and he could actually go before pick 7 on Thursday night. We'll find out together. At pick 8, the Falcons are there. I'm going to take the first defensive player off the board. I love this guy, Byron Murphy. He's not an edge rusher, but he's incredibly disruptive as an interior defensive lineman. Then at 9, Emery, there's a little trade here. The Saints move up from 14. I'll let you announce this pick, and we'll talk about it together in a few minutes.
Saints need a tackle, amongst other things. So they will take one of the better tackles in the class in Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. Long arms, able to connect and extend. Good athlete. Fits right in perfectly and will be a day one starter for New Orleans.
Absolutely. At pick 10, the Jets are sitting there. And, Rick, we've talked about the Jets may likely lean towards skill position player for their quarterback, but instead you went in another direction.
Yeah, I went with Tali Fuagu, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. I know they were active putting two offensive tackles in, trading for Moses, signing Smith, but can Smith stay healthy? I don't know if this kid can play right or left, but he's going to be a long-term solution at tackle for the New York Jets.
And Joe Douglas, Jets GM, was apparently eyeballing Fuaga way back to the Senior Bowl. So this wouldn't be a big surprise if they go away from skill position. At number 11, the Patriots. This is the trade down from 3 to 11. And wide receiver 4 is an interesting name, Mr. Hunt.
For you guys, but not for me, A.D. Mitchell out of Texas reminds me a lot of C.D. Lamb. They get someone that can take a short pass a long way, bring some explosiveness to their receiver position. We'll worry about our quarterback position a little bit later.
Okay. There's Rick. Rick stifling a laugh. All right, Rick, hold on to your seat because it's about to get crazier here. At pick 12, I'm going to have Emery come back up and defend himself in a moment. But tell me, Emery, what are the Denver Broncos doing at 12 to help their quarterback?
Well, Sean Payton is an offensive guy. He's from that Bill Parcells tree. You know, when he gets a job, he's going to bring in his cast of characters, guys like Richie Anderson, Vinny Testaverde, Keith Byers. Sean Payton's the same way. So I'm going to go offense here. Although there is another need for cornerback, let's go Brock Bowers out of Georgia.
Rick, when you and I do these mock drafts, you often laugh if I had done something like that, because this means the door is wide open for you at 13 to do what?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try to say this is like a dream scenario for me at number 13 and Tom Telesco in Las Vegas. J.J. McCarthy just fell into my lap. I may even consider Michael Penix Jr. here, but I'm going to go with J.J. McCarthy.
All right, one of the quarterbacks off the board. Michael Penix Jr. still in the green room waiting to hear his name called. And then at 14, Emory, I'll let you come. I'll come back to you one more time. Every edge rusher under the sun is available to you, Chicago Bears and Ryan Poles. What are you doing? You just hired Emory Hunt. What do you suggest that you do?
Take the best defensive edge rusher in the class in Leiatu Latu. Everything you hear about Latu, you heard about Jalen Phillips coming into the draft, coming out of Miami via UCLA. I like Latu. I think he's going to pair up nicely with Montez Sweat. Let's go.
He's the most technical pass rusher in this class. The injury history is going to be a concern. All right, Rick, let's talk about the Saints-Bears trade. Saints go from 14-9. They get Olufashinu, which I think checks out. We've seen Mickey Loomis. You've talked about how aggressive he's been. They traded for Trevor Penning a few years ago. We don't know Ryan Ramczyk's situation at right tackle. Grade the trade for both the Saints getting that offensive tackle that can start right away and then the Bears taking Latu.
Okay, I'm going to count to 10. So I don't comment on all the other stuff that happened in this block. So I'll just focus on this one. Okay. But I know Mickey Loomis done a lot of deals with Mickey over the years. And I think in 21 years, 20 of the years of his 21 years down there, they've always traded up to go get a player they want. This is a critical need for them. Fashanu is someone that can step in day one, like Emery said. They have to keep Carr upright. If not, Carr's going to get beat up like he did last year. So to me, he goes and gets his guy. If they give up a second round pick, it's overpaying this year. They may try to give a second rounder next year. They don't have a third and fourth this year. So, but knowing Mickey Loomis, knowing how aggressive he is, that I wouldn't be surprised even if he gave it up a second this year to go get Fashanu to get their left tackle.
Hey, Emery, let me ask you something. You grew up a Saints fan, I believe. I know you're from New Orleans. Any consideration to a quarterback here? Because I know you're a huge Jameis Winston guy, and he is no longer there, and Derek Carr was okay but wasn't great last year. Do you consider a J.J. or Michael Penix?
Not at all, man. I feel like they're locked in the car, so it's kind of like, hey, how can the Saints build up the rest of the roster? You think about the two tackles you mentioned. Penning hasn't worked out as of yet, and Ramczyk has this injury. And you look on the other side of the ball, they address defensive line in the draft via Davenport, who's now gone, and Peyton Turner, who's a good player but just can't stay healthy. So they've invested 4 first-round picks into point-of-attack play, and it hadn't worked out. So you kind of have to keep hitting that at that well, because this is where football games are won or lost.
No, absolutely. All right, Rick, let's circle back and talk about J.J. McCarthy. You mentioned Michael Penix Jr. as consideration. Is that because of the offense and the division and that he can hit the ground running sooner, perhaps, in the AFC West on that Raiders team? Or is that you maybe have them graded closer than some other folks do?
No, it's because J.J. McCarthy isn't going to go past the Patriots or the Broncos to fall to the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'll just say this, that talking to some people out there, Michael Penix Jr. has been spiraling upward with all his pre-draft process, how he worked out at the pro day. So I would say that he has closed the gap, but he's not closed the gap on J.J. McCarthy. But it's, to me, improbable that J.J. McCarthy falls to Vegas and going past the Broncos, going past the Patriots, if that trade happened.
Rick, let me ask you this.
Maybe. Yeah, go ahead, Emery. Go ahead.
Ask you this, Rick. As prospects, who do you had? Who did you have a higher grade on, Zach Wilson or J.J. McCarthy as prospects?
J.J., because of his – Zach Wilson was only a one-year wonder. I always have concerns in the first round with one-year guys. All these guys have played more than 1 year. So at the quarterback, the one thing that I learned from the coaches I've been around, Trubisky was a one-year wonder. He only played 1 year. So the more – experience they have, the longer they've played, usually the better success rate that they're going to have. So that's why I don't have as big a concern about J.J. McCarthy. Zach Wilson had a great year, but he was a little bit of a rodeo Joe out there doing some plays that weren't going to work in the NFL. So I would say I would have J.J. ahead of Zach Wilson.
I can confirm, Emery, that one-year wonders get Rick fired up. Jalen Hyatt last year. We've talked about Xavier Leggett this year as a one-year wonder. So Rick needs to see more. I get it. He's old school in that sense. One other thing I want to talk about real quick. Rick, Byron Murphy, first defensive player off the board. How angry does that make you?
It doesn't make me angry. I still think they would lean towards an edge, but everything you're hearing out there, when you just keep going back and looking at the tape, he may be the best defensive player in this entire draft class. He can play the run. He can rush the passer inside. He's an explosive through his lower body. And, you know, we've talked about how much I loved when he walked on a stage and walked off the stage. It was like a mold of what a defensive tackle's lower level should look like, to say the least. So, and everything checks the box, the mental, the character, the football passion, everything you want in a player. He's checked every box through this pre-draft process, and he's healthy. His neck is not fused together.
If you had the Falcons pick at 8 and you like Latu, the medical concerns there, he's great in terms of his personality and off the field, versus Byron Murphy, how would you do that math?
I'm going outside edge rush. I think that's where they need the most juice. More so, even though the closer you are to the ball, the more impact you have. And yes, interior pressure is key, but I feel like they need someone that can be a difference maker off the edge.
All right. 14 picks down. Still no Michael Penix Jr. Still no Bo Nix. Got some wide receivers out there. Need to start having a run on defensive backs and edge rushers. We're going to take a quick break. We'll reconvene. I'll talk some sense to these guys, and we'll get to pick 15 right after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. Mock draft time, the NFL draft. Some 29 hours and change away. Pick 15. We'll go through these one sentencers each, and then we'll circle back. And Emery, I hear Rick has a question for you. Then Rick, I have a question for you as well. All right, 15, the Colts. What are you doing here, Emery?
Quinyon Mitchell to pair up with Juju Brents. I love what they're building out there in Indy. I like the defense. I want them to get stronger this year.
Long and fast on the outside with those cornerbacks. Rick, pick 16. The Seattle Seahawks are here. Aaron Donald didn't retire in Seattle, but what are you thinking in terms of what they want to do?
Well, I didn't want the Rams to get Johnny Newton, so I'm going to take Johnny Newton here. I know they need interior offensive line help, which I can go there, but don't be surprised. It's been very quiet on the quarterback front, and Ryan Grubb, the OC at Washington, has a real liking for Michael Penix Jr. Could they potentially go quarterback here as well?
Ooh-wee! Man, can you imagine?
No one's talking about it. It's been very, very quiet out there.
No one's talking about it. I don't know Michael Penix Jr.'s full name, but I know Eugene Cyril Smith III is still there, and that would be quite the pairing in terms of one helping the other make his way into the league. All right, pick 17, the Jaguars on the clock. Dallas Turner is somehow sitting there. Rick, I'm going to circle back and ask you about that. They're taking him there. They have Josh Allen. Caleb on Chase on didn't work out. They get another edge rusher to pair with that super athletic front seven. 18, the Bengals are on the clock here. They need offensive line help. Maybe they want a tight end. What are you doing here, Emery?
Trying to bolster the defense, man. This is the cornerback section. You got to get Terrion Arnold out of Alabama. Fantastic player. Coach out there on the field in the secondary as well.
All right, Rick, you mentioned the Rams would be in the Johnny Newton business. He is gone. They have some guy, Kobe Turner, who I think is probably going to be a Hall of Famer, much to your chagrin. What are you doing here to help that defense?
Yeah, I'm going with Jared Verse. I can't believe he's sitting here either. This is the most bizarre thing I've ever sat through. I'm sorry, I was getting sarcastic there. So, but they can use another... I'm taking Jared Verse, no questions asked. The best first step power to speed to power rusher in this draft.
I will say this. If you think things are crazy now, literally hold into your hat, because this next block here, your wig might be coming off. So hold on for that. At 20, the Steelers on the clock. Another player I can't believe is there, J.C. Latham. They are sprinting to the podium to take him. And they'll move Broderick Jones to the left side, and they are cooking with gas in the Russ Wilson era. At 21, the Dolphins are on the clock. Emery, what's going on here?
Troy Fatanu out of Washington. He's my number one tackle, and we know Teron Armstead can't play forever. You also can't play for a full season, so at least you can get some work with your guy that's a first-round pick out there at tackle at some point during the year.
And at 22, Rick, I've heard the Eagles might be sniffing around for a trade-up for a defensive back. They don't have to trade up here. What are you doing?
Yeah, they may be trying to trade up to go get Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, but to me, I went with Cooper DeJean. So, and the reason I'm going with Cooper DeJean is because they need some versatility on the back end, a guy that can fill multiple positions, whether it's Nick, whether it's safety. Most teams, I think, have him projected at safety. They may have him outside, but because he's so smart and his versatility, he can fill a lot of holes in that secondary. You can fill many holes with one player, and he's a punt returner.
Rick, why is this the biggest controversy for him? We saw this a little bit last year with Moss, where people had some legitimate questions of whether or not he could be a safety or a corner. But DeJean has done a lot of things rather well, probably a little bit better than Moss at that position. Why do you feel like people are just quickly saying safety as opposed to kind of letting them just fail at corner first before having a discussion?
The one thing is that he is so off the chart smart from an intelligence standpoint, and he's a good support guy, and he can see things. I think he's a better zone corner, honestly, than he is in man coverage. I think he's a little stiff getting out of his turn if he gets extended down the field. But you could have a good corner, or you can have a potential Pro Bowl safety. So I think teams are looking at that from the interviews that he has had, and they say he's just been lights out across the board on schemes, on making calls. Everything that these teams have put the test to him, he's passed them with flying colors.
Insanely athletic. We know about his basketball background as well. We talked about the combine. He was quietly confident, even as Rick tried to make fun of him about that Minnesota punt return situation. But that's a conversation. But
just
yeah,
you gotta
wave at it. Just wave your hand. All right, Rick, I'm giving you the fair catch signal for Dallas Turner versus Jared Verse. Number one, I would imagine you don't think they're going to be there pick 17 and 19.
Absolutely
but
not.
But if they are, are the Jaguars and Dallas getting the better deal, or the Rams and Jared Verse getting the better deal in terms of year one production? Let's start there.
I think value, they both are getting a great deal because I think they're both going to have an impact. Dallas Turner, to me, is the most athletic. I understand Latu, and I understand he's a technician. But Dallas Turner, even when you watch him drop in coverage, looks like a linebacker the way he moves. Jared Verse can't drop in coverage, but Jared Verse can come off the edge. Latu is a technician, so the biggest question besides injury, and he is a good football player, I have him third behind these other two guys, is how high is his ceiling? We saw Will Anderson last year come out of Alabama, and there were some questions on him because they reduce him down inside. Well, they did a little bit of that with Dallas. All of a sudden, you put Will Anderson out in a wide nine technique, which is outside that offensive tackle, and take the reins off and let him go. Look the impact he had. He was Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think Dallas Turner is even more athletic than Will Anderson was last year.
Do you think a guy like Turner going to the Jags helps out the kid they drafted from Georgia, maybe reduced down inside as a five as opposed to just rushing the edge?
I know they extended Josh Allen. You can never have enough good edge rushers. And I don't know if Walker is that edge rusher. He's very athletic. He's long. Look at what Trent Baalke has done when they had a lot of those long interior. The kid from LSU that had an impact as an inside rusher. And I think Trayvon Walker, even when you saw it coming out, he beat guards because he's more athletic than the guards and had more production disrupting the quarterback than he did as an edge rusher. But if you keep him at edge and you have that rotation, that's a pretty good rotation to keep those guys fresh. And to me, playoff caliber defenses rotate their defensive line to keep them fresh.
All right, 22 picks in the book. When we come back, the Patriots are back on the clock after the trade down. They got a wide receiver at 11. What will they do at 23? Rick, I'm not kidding. Tie that hat to your head, duct tape it, because it's about to get wild, and we'll talk about that right after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to With First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. All right, we're going to do something a little different here, Rick, as you hold onto your seat and your hat and everything else. We're going to start at 28 and then work our way back up, because that 23rd pick, man, that is something special. 28, the Bills are on the clock here. Rick, you are making the pick. What are you doing?
Yeah, they need speed to extend the field. And there's been some talk about Xavier Worthy going to the Bills, but I don't like small receivers in cold weather climates. So I can't believe Brian Thomas Jr.'s here. He's big. He's fast. He's athletic. He improved through the season. He gives them a vertical receiver that can stretch the field and a big play threat down the field for Josh Allen.
Yep, they have Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir to play underneath and let Brian Thomas Jr. eat down the field. All right, 27, Emory, the Cardinals on the clock. They took Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. You going defense here? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going defense. And listen, grading these guys, I thought I wasn't going to be impressed with a lot of linebackers this year, but Cooper, Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M reminded me a lot of those old Wrecking Crew defenses that they had at A&M. So I'm going to go there, help them out at the second level of their defense, adds another thumper and a blitzer coming out off the edge.
Tampa Bay's at 26, and they would have liked some interior offensive line help, but those names are off the board. So for producer Stryker, Bucks fan, I'm getting outside help at cornerback. Nate Wiggins, long, fast, probably the best cover corner in this class. He's a little undersized in terms of run support, but I think he's going to get better there. 25, Rick, the Packers on the clock. David Bakhtiari is retired. Maybe they're looking for some cornerback help. They don't need wide receivers or tight ends, but everything else probably is on the board. What are you thinking at 25?
Yeah, they don't take wide receivers or tight ends in the first round anyway, so you're not going to have to worry about that. But Mims, Amarius Mims from Georgia, has maybe the most potential. And when you're down here this far in a draft, you may take a swing at a guy because he has unique physical traits. He just needs to stay healthy and needs to gain experience.
All right, at 24, the Cowboys are on the clock, and the math for me was, do you want to go tackle and leave Tyler Smith inside, or do you want to go guard center and move Tyler Smith to left tackle? So I went guard center, took Graham Barton out of Duke, played left tackle in college. He's kicking inside, allows Tyler to move outside at left tackle, and you have Terrence Steele on the right side, and that solidifies an area of need for sure. All right, Rick, do you have your seatbelt on? Because we're to pick 23. Okay.
I'm ready.
Hold on. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you
are.
I'm
not sarcastic. 11. I am not being there's no sarcasm.
All right, Emory, the Patriots at 11 took A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver 4. They desperately need help down the field. And now they're drafting Michael. But no, who are they taking at 23, Emory?
Spencer Rattler of South Carolina. Reason why I like Spencer Rattler is because he is, one, battle-tested. So we know we could drop him into an adverse situation and he'll be successful. We gave him a nice receiver in A.D. Mitchell, and we can't allow what happened at Oklahoma to forget how talented he was when he started at Oklahoma. He still has the arm strength. Reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield that we just seen with the Bucs. So for me, no-brainer. Boom. Spencer Rattler. Let's go, Rick.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Rick, before you get going, Rick, before you get going, make your offer to Emory, and then you can follow up.
Okay, this is my offer, Emory. If Spencer Rattler goes in the first round, I will donate $1,000 to any charity you want, your favorite charity. I will write the check. We will do it on the podcast. I will give you $1,000 to your favorite charity. And then my other bet is if he goes in the fourth round, you owe me 10 bucks. If he doesn't go on Friday and goes on Saturday, you owe me 10 bucks.
Rick, you keep changing the math. Like, it's about what we would do. So I'm not disputing that
afraid.
He may not go.
Oh, in you don't want the
– it's semantics.
You want to take the bet or not? Do you want to take the bet or not?
I am not taking the bet because you're changing the rules on live television. I am picking Spencer Rattler. The Emory Hunt Patriots are taking Spencer Rattler.
Hey, Rick, okay. I'll take the bet, though, because I want an opportunity to donate to Hair Club for Men so everyone doesn't have to suffer my
just
fate.
Just so
that's
you
$1,000 going to a good cause.
It's not going to Ryan Wilson or Emery Hunt GoFundMe page. It's going to an actual charity.
All right. So let's circle back. We'll talk about Spencer because, Rick, you know, I'm a huge Spencer fan. Clearly, Emery's a bigger fan than I am. If you're sitting there at 23, and look, there's a lot to like about Spencer. We've talked about him before. But you have Michael Penix Jr. there. You have Bo Nix there. And we've talked about Michael Pratt and where he fits into this situation. Is there a scenario where you can talk yourself into Spencer over those two other quarterbacks, Rick, or are you just not there in any way, shape, or form?
Am I allowed to be sarcastic or not?
You can be as honest as you want to be.
Absolutely not. I can't see it. I wish I could. I just can't. I'm blinded by the light that Emery is shining on, and you're shining on Spencer Rattler. I'm just blinded.
Sorry. Okay, well, here's the thing. Well, for me, it's like, okay, at Oklahoma, he was a different quarterback. We understand that. And then in the last four or five games in 2022, okay, I was like, okay, impressive. Can he? I thought he should have come out and probably struck while the iron was hot. Kind of like I thought Cardale Jones should have came out after his run, but he went back. But this time, Rattler goes back and actually plays a little bit better than he did in 2022. And you're like, okay, he's kind of matured. He kind of got back to his groove. And maybe he's selling everybody on his new change. Spencer Rattler, he's, you know, probably the same guy. But I feel like we've seen him transform and change and become a better quarterback as in totality than what he was out there in Norman.
I'll agree with you this. He did get better this year, better enough to get drafted maybe in the fourth round.
I think he's
now if he starts
day
games,
two for me.
Huh?
Go ahead, Emery.
Oh, I'm saying starting games. Like I always listen. I know I'm always like, hey, if I get him on day three or day, you know, late day two, he still will be a starter for me. So as long as I can continue to stockpile the roster, I'm gonna be good. So I don't care if I get him right here at pick 23. I don't want the Giants or anybody else to take him in the top of the second round. So I'm gonna just make that move, get that fifth year option, and grab my guy right there.
All right, Rick, let me ask you this. If he's a fourth-round guy, and I think he does sneak into day two, but let's say he goes fourth round. First 3 years of his career, because we'll look forward a little bit, who do you think is more productive, Aiden O'Connell, who was a fourth-rounder last year, or Spencer?
Yeah, well, you can't predict that because you can't predict injuries. If he's behind someone and he's not going to play, but Aiden O'Connell got put into a situation because of the injuries. They got rid of Derek Carr. Right? Jimmy G got hurt, so he would not have played if Jimmy G had stayed healthy. So Aiden O'Connell got forced into the situation. He's a good backup. That's where they got drafted in fourth round, I believe, last year. That's what these guys are to me.
One-word answer. Who would you draft first, Aiden O'Connell or Spencer Rattler?
O'Connell.
Okay. All right. We know that Emery disagrees, but we'll sort it out. In this break here, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hit the final picks 29 through 32. Still no Michael Penix Jr. Let's see where he goes right after this.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. We are down the home stretch. The Lions are on the clock at pick 29. But before we get to our mock draft, Rick, we got some real news. Amara St. Brown signed to a long-term deal. Panay Sewell signed to a long-term deal. And I'll ask you this, Rick, and we'll get Emery's reaction as well. Who is the better general manager early in their career? Brad Holmes, whose first draft class involved those two players, Amara and Panay, or Rick Spielman, who drafted Adrian Peterson, and then had Sidney Rice with his next pick in that very first draft? This is going to be a tough one for you. Who you got?
I'm going with Brad Holmes because I'm doing a podcast and he's still drafting players for a team. So, yeah, naturally it's Brad Holmes. That was a trick question. The one thing I will say about Brad is that He does not care what the outside or the smoke or everything you hear on the outside. They are going to take good football players that are smart, dependable, reliable, and have passion for the game. So when you go get a Sam Laporta, or you go say, well, it's too high to go get a Jahmyr Gibbs, or they drafted Jack Campbell, who I think is going to be a good player. Even when the pass rusher came out, Hutchinson came out. Yeah, he was a good football player, and all these guys that play with passion for the game. And it doesn't care. It fits what the Detroit Lions are building that roster, building that culture with. And when you can hit on those guys, our philosophy was always try to extend them a year early. So these guys deserve their extensions. They deserve to get paid. We did numerous extensions before they became free agents, and we were willing to, for the team, for example, when a team does it a year early, the team is actually taking on a little bit of the injury risk, but we're locking up a player that we drafted, that we developed, that fit all the criteria of the culture we wanted to build.
Hey, Emory, let me ask you this about Amon-Ra St. Brown in particular. He ran a 4.61 at during the pre-draft process, fell to the fourth round. Why do we continue to fall for this? Brian Branch, also with Detroit, ran a 4.58. They got a bargain on him in the second round. Why do we keep falling for the slow time speeds when these guys play fast? Because Amon-Ra is one of the best route runners in this draft. In the NFL, as we said here.
People always remember what they saw last, but the problem is, and I'm glad Brad Holmes is doing this, because, listen, I'm going to give my guy Rick Spielman some credit, because he was like this too. He had great drafts. I go back and look at my draft grades. I always gave the Vikings an A, because Rick was out there drafting good football players. And that's what you need. That's the last thing. Last time I checked, that's what we're doing, playing football. You need the guys that can play the game like that. So as much as y'all clown me, when I become the general manager of the New Jersey Generals, I'm going to deny all of you guys' credentials. I'm going to make y'all pay for tickets.
All right, well, I know it's not going to be the New England Patriots. I can guarantee that.
So the good news is that Brad Holmes locked up these two players. The bad news is Rick informs me in 2 years, Brad Holmes will be doing this podcast with us. So Brad, enjoy it while it lasts, because you might be hosting the podcast soon, buddy. All right, pick 29. I made this pick for Brad Holmes. I don't know how he feels about it, but hopefully he's okay with it. I had them going with Darius Robinson. We've had Chop Robinson going in this spot, but I like Darius's versatility up and down the line of scrimmage. At pick 30, the Ravens are on the clock, and Emory, you are up. This team has needs at offensive tackle. What are you thinking?
They also need a receiver. Keep drafting receivers. You saw I had worked out for you last year, but I'm going to go corner, because I feel like they always get banged up on that side of the ball toward the back end of the season. So Kool-Aid McKinstry, for me, makes a ton of sense. He's still a very good football player. I know people were focused on the combine, but he's 100% healthy. I like him to be a plug-and-play starter for Baltimore.
Rick, at 31, the 49ers are there, and this feels like another sprint to the podium type situation.
Yeah, thank you, Emory, because you don't have a right tackle, so don't worry about it. But you just gave me my starting right tackle in San Francisco, because they do need to upgrade the offensive line. I can understand they go defense, they can go corner here as well. Be interested if they do trade Ayuk or not. Then all of a sudden that dynamic can potentially change if that happens over here in the next day or two. I don't predict that happening. But if Guyton's still here, I pulled a hamstring running to the podium to put his name in.
And then pick 32, the Chiefs are there. I haven't taken Ladd McConkey because I love Ladd. You could argue that Hollywood Brown does a lot of the same things, and maybe think about a Jordan Morgan there because of his versatility, tackle guard. But Emory, with the few minutes we have left here, I'm going to let you defend yourself about why you passed on Tyler Guyton and went defensive back here.
Because I feel like, they always get banged up in the secondary, and outside of Humphrey, They get targeted. Whoever's that guy opposite, it rotates every other week. It's somebody out there needs to be a deterrent. I think McKinstry could help them out, because, again, the Ravens, I can trust that they can find offensive linemen. They tend to do a good job with that, and also edge rushers. So I'll trust them on that one. But they need a stud at corner opposite of Humphrey, who has been banged up a lot in the last couple of seasons.
Rick, five quarterbacks, no Bo Nix, no Michael Penix Jr. What's your biggest takeaway from the mock draft that we would do starting Spencer Rattler?
Not we. Yeah. Well, let's clarify we, okay? It's Emory, it's a Ryan, and it's a Rick mock draft. And we kind of combined them all together. So let's not use the word we so loosely.
Okay.
So I would have taken Dallas.
Is that your biggest takeaway?
That's my biggest takeaway. I don't want we. I want me. Okay, I'm going to be a me guy this one.
If all right, this fair happens, enough. Hey, yeah, go ahead.
And I just want to throw this scenario out. Let's say that New England doesn't go Spencer Rattler, because I would owe Emery $1,000 to his favorite charity, which I'm going to not worry about too much. But let's say they did not get a quarterback in the first round and they pick so high in the second round that they don't trade back to go get a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix Jr. if they fall that far to get their quarterback of the future. We did that with Teddy Bridgewater when he was falling down. We went back to get that fifth-year option. You saw Baltimore do it with Lamar Jackson when he was falling down. They went back up and traded in the first round. So realistically, if this scenario happened and those two quarterbacks are still there at the bottom of the first, don't be surprised if another team that didn't get the quarterback they wanted to get very aggressive to go back in the first at the end of the night to get either a Penix or a Bo Nix.
All right, Emory, we got just under a minute here. What's your biggest takeaway? Where do you see these quarterbacks like Penix and Bo Nix coming off the board in round two, I would imagine?
I feel like we need to correct the market on QBs. If you start taking these QBs in their respective rightful rounds, then we would have a lot less whiffs at the position. So I'm all about quarterback correction. Let's correct the market. They try to do it with my running backs. Let's do it with the quarterback position.
Now, Emory, you said that with a straight face, knowing that you took Spencer Rattler 23rd overall. So I'm going to have to hold you to it. I'm a big Spencer guy. So fingers crossed.
GM Emory Hunt of the New Jersey Generals will deny both you guys' credentials and make you buy tickets and pay for parking.
Can I get a free hot dog at least, or a beverage?
No hot dog.
Nothing?
Nope. You get a beverage with no ice.
That's it for us here with the first pick on CBS Sports Network. Thanks as always to Rick, thanks to Emory. You can get with the first pick wherever you get your podcasts. The draft is here.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.